Hello and welcome to the first episode of IMO. I am your host, Liam.
And I am the co-host, Emil.
You're not a co-host.
I'm a host, okay, sorry.
He's a host. Okay, IMO is a podcast that we're starting. It's basically, it's pretty much off the wall, and it's going to be a podcast trying to talk about everything and anything, our own opinions, and they're not going to be particularly... well-educated, well-informed opinions, but we'll try our best, obviously, and we'll try and put our own inputs and try and encourage discussion and stuff like that. It's always something, this podcast is something that we've always wanted to do. It's not particularly high budget. In fact, just setting up the studio, we almost broke the entire room. Our mic stands were falling apart, and right now our mics are dangling, but... apart from that, it's going well in terms of setting it up. What we wanted to include in this podcast was just to basically talk about what we will be doing throughout the entire podcast. What we'll be doing for the rest of the shows, and what we hope to do in the future, really, because right now it isn't really going to be a good idea of what each podcast will be. So
we'll let it evolve.
Yeah, we'll just see what happens over time. The one thing that we do want to cover today is a recent news story. It's been in the news for at least a week now, probably longer. And it's come up before, it came up last year as well, and that's the fact that the UK Prime Minister David Cameron wants to crack down on internet pornography, which is obviously bad, 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 or awful, horrific news for teenagers everywhere. But he's done this on his own, from his own accord and everything, something that he's encouraging independently. But it's also being received relatively well amongst a lot of people.
A worrying amount of people are okay with it. They're not necessarily okay with it. They're just not really expressing...
ignorant towards it,
I guess. Yeah.
Obviously, there's already an e-petition against it, which I think currently, as of 29th July, has around 30,000.
When you checked last time, it was like nearly 30k. I reckon it'll be.
And obviously, it takes it to get 100,000 to
even just be noticed,
So it's almost as if there's not very much opposition. Obviously, we want to talk about why we oppose it. It's very, very little of our concern is to do with access to pornography, because at the end of the day, teenagers are always going to find access to pornography. That's one of the littlest of our worries. What we want to know is what this means for the future of censorship, because as soon as you begin censoring the internet, you've opened up a whole new world of bad possibilities which could occur because of that.
The thing is, I don't know if you saw the picture that someone leaked. I can't remember. I'm not sure what the source was, but there was a picture of a checklist that you could check to see what sort of items you wanted blocked.
Yeah, I did see it, yeah.
And it wasn't just pornography. It was drugs, violence.
I can bring up a list here.
Sex-related, not necessarily pornography, but anything sex-related. So I'm going to get this acronym completely wrong, but the
LGBT.
Yeah.
That's about LGBT, and then there's a load of new letters that they've stuck at the end.
All of the sexuality is just in...
But the four letters of the people, that's obviously going to block access to a lot of sites of them, because it works off of keywords. As we know, mm-hmm. filters are really, really awful. But one thing which really strikes me as quite bad is... blocking social networking.
Oh yeah, that's what they were going to do. I was going to mention that, because social networking isn't inherently bad. No, I mean, it's what's annoying about this entire situation is that David Cameron is kind of acting like it's the internet is evil, and it's corrupting the minds of the children. In his words, he said that pornography, but I think he seems to think that pornography is a synonym for the internet. He seems to think that it's crushing the innocence of children.
Yeah.
And I don't like the way he uses the word children, because I don't think children, as in 8 to 10 year olds would be interested in pornography, or certainly the vast majority of them.
If we're on it, stumbling across pornography, which is, I think, one thing that he's concerned about, happens very rarely.
You have to actively search for it.
Yeah,
he seems to think it's.
Well, at least we might be wrong. We might just be our cases, but I don't think it's very often, because. The only time I think you could stumble across pornography is where it's like casual soft pornography. So, things like The Sun or Daily Mail websites where they have, they have all the listed like stories, and then basically half the homepage is soft pornography.
Yeah.
So I think I read somewhere, I'm not sure if this is quite true, but the already newspapers are starting, they've changed their opinion once they've realized that this might affect them in a way,
definitely.
On their sites and stuff like that. But no, as I was saying about social networking, it concerns me because it's almost limiting the ability for people to share information online. And
definitely. I think that's
and share problem. Ideas yeah. because that's what spawns intelligence and opposition and like your own opinion on important information is finding out information and sharing ideas between people. So if you start limiting that for people, obviously at a young age, because it's not going to affect adults really. I doubt unless of course like you're trying to convince your spouse to, remove the porn filter, which can cause lots of awkward conversations.
Yeah.
The young people aren't going to be in contact with enough of the world. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I think just being, I hate to sound like a sort of a sales rep, but like just the issue of not being connected with people, there's all this talk about being always connected, and it's sort of been such a positive thing now. It's like, oh, you've got an iPhone that can access all of this amazing stuff. And it's like, oh, you can access the entirety of the internet, this entire database of information on a small phone, and now the sensors are sort of aiming to take that all away. And obviously the media has sort of criticized social media in particular, along with other sort of mediums of entertainment and pastime, sort of like social networking, video games and such, that it's sort of a critical thing. It's corrupting the minds of children, as they like to call it. And I actually think it's a very critical part of raising a child, is to allow them to have access to, not necessarily like, well, obviously not pornography, but social networking and things that would allow them to develop critical thinking skills.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think one of... I'm not going to say it's the main thing because I doubt it is, but one thing that has really evolved the world is technology and also the internet, because the internet has allowed people to discover other parts of the world, and it has removed a lot of taboos, like homosexuality. I think, I'm going to say that the internet has helped people to become more comfortable with it, and maybe probably much more accepting and things like that, because they're exposed to it and in a more kind of welcoming environment, where obviously there are going to be LGBT people on the internet, and them being exposed to that from a young age is obviously going to make them think that it's just another part of society as it is. So, and I think that the internet, as while it has in some cases spawned, very racist and very homosexual groups, very homosexual, very homophobic groups.
It's I didn't also... realize what you said. It hit me.
Oh, yes. Jesus. No. Very homophobic groups. It's going to, cause some issues. That's obviously caused some issues, but it's also, helped spawn, much more kind of like not well-mannered but well-educated people. They know about the world, and it's much more accepting society, which I think has been really positive.
Well, it is like sort of, this might be taking it too way off the wall, but like sort of actually no. Yeah, if you think about it, sort of like before the creation of the internet, societies were very much in their own sort of bubble. Yeah, sort of communication was limited to sort of telephones, telegraphs, and letter mail and stuff. And the internet has now sort of created this interesting spread of opinions. So people in Hawaii know what I think about religion, for example, and stuff like that. You have discussions with these people across the world, and that might cause them to discuss that with their friends and so on and so forth. So you create this entire network of opinions, which wouldn't have been possible before. So the internet it has this enormous potential to educate the masses, I guess.
Yeah.
And David Cameron is now wanting to take that away. And interestingly, he's using the guise of child pornography to sort of make it look
it's
a justified
that's
thing.
That's a scare factor. He's used that because, you know, as me and you know, but I'm not sure everyone else knows, is that paedophiles aren't going to find their pornography via you know, search engines like Google and Bing. And, you know, Bing have put in, you know, if you type in, as I saw on the news, as an example, they typed in, you know, child sex abuse on Bing, and then it shows a pop-up saying, you know, you're doing illegal things.
Yeah.
But I believe that puts you on like a priority list if you, you know, do a lot of these searching, and it's all being tracked a lot. And I think, you know, it's all just being put down to a scare factor where all, you know, all parents and all people who aren't aware of, you know, the dark side of the internet are going to be like, oh, well, that's a very good thing. That's clearly going to solve all the problems. But that's just
all of the problems.
But that's just causing more issues, I think.
I think it's, as you said, like the child pornography, and this is going to make me sound like I know where to get it. I don't. But, like, I do know where it's not, and that is not on sort of Google. In fact, Google have taken extensive measures to prevent child pornography from being displayed through normal searches. I'm not sure how well they are to cover proxies and stuff like that, and obviously you've got the Tor network and the deep web that are that's where it all is.
That's where it's all kept. But yeah, as we were saying about the filters as well, I'm worried about how it would, how it block things like related to health. So you look at drugs and alcohol and tobacco and stuff like that. So people who are searching up things like literally like researching drugs because they're worried about something they've smoked or are actually looking into alcohol and tobacco, that's instantly going to be blocked. Or at least in most cases, or in some cases, I'm not sure how the filters will turn out, but it'll be blocked in some way. So I think that's bad, but it's not as bad as the suicide and self-harm part they're wanting to block, because I think that's extremely controversial.
Especially with like help.
That's what I mean. You know, I'm not sure how good the filters are going to be. If they're going to be able to determine between, you know, encouraging suicide and helping suicide, there could be fine lines between the two. So I think it's kind of, it just seems a bit stupid to try and censor such a huge part of the internet.
Yeah. But like, that's the main issue, is where do they draw the line? Because you've got drugs and alcohol. Drugs isn't just illegal substances. Okay, that's like, paracetamol is a drug. So how are they going to sort of draw the line with that? Does that mean the NHS website is going to be down? You know, is that going to be censored for people? Are people going to have trouble? You know, if you're like a hypochondriac like me, you find something wrong with you and you instantly Google it, which isn't good because you end up thinking that you have like explosive testicles or whatever, you know, like it's just like you sort of you look that sort of stuff up, and it does help people. Yeah.
Yeah.
They sort of say, oh, I've got something weird on my face. So you Google it, and then like you will say, oh, the link would say you could have face cancer, and you click it and it's like, sorry, you can't discover whether or not you have face cancer because David Cameron's a dick. Like, it's just, I just think he's stopping the flow of information. And I do think that there is an ulterior motive here. I don't think that it's just pornography or preventing the innocence of children. I think it's actually stopping public expression.
I have the news report here, which I think I should just read, because I won't read the entire thing, but I'll just give the main points of it. It says, this is from The Independent, David Cameron cracks down on online pornography with porn block option. Every home in the UK is to have pornography blocked by their internet provider unless the householder choose to receive it, David Cameron has announced. Warning that access to online pornography is corroding childhood, the Prime Minister said that by the end of the year, millions of households will be contacted by their internet providers and told that they must decide whether to activate family-friendly filters to restrict adult material. Customers who do not click on either option, accepting or declining, will have filters activated by default. Other measures announced by the Prime Minister include possessing pornography that depicts simulated rape is to become a criminal offence in England and Wales and make Britain a place where there is a sense of right and wrong, and change the law to restrict the distribution of extreme online videos that would not receive licences to be sold in UK sex shops, and also to force search engines to return no results for specific search terms associated with child pornography, as we said. Now, just looking at the first paragraph of that report, I've already got a load of issues with what he's trying to put in place. I've talked about some, but a sense of right and wrong.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like,
absolutely ridiculous.
We were just talking about how like opinions are formed on the internet. Like, in fact, it's probably the most opinionated place on the planet. Like, that is where all of the opinion is. It's just on the internet. You see, like, all of these debates and stuff, and I think opinions are definitely a key part in forming right or wrong. In fact, it's probably, like, by definition, forming an opinion is either right or it's wrong, depending on, like, who you discuss it with, and it's sort of, that forms who you are. Taking away the internet isn't going to create a sense of right or wrong. I think it's just going to create a sense of right and what is right, and people won't be aware of the wrong.
Yeah.
So they just sort of have this kind of ignorance. Yeah, I've described it really badly, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're trying to say. It's like, it's linked in with, like, depicts simulated rape. Now, one guy is going to be like, you know, oh man, simulated rape, what's the issue with that? It's all in good fun. It's like, what's the difference between me and, you know, my girlfriend or my boyfriend, you know, doing active simulated rape in the bedroom? You know, is that going to become illegal? Well, obviously not, but it's pushing a sense of right and wrong, because to the next guy, simulated rape is going to be like the most disgusting thing ever.
You have a subjective opinion here.
You can't create, it's like, if you were to do like a poll over people over something like this over the UK, you'd have a wide range of opinions. Obviously one would be more popular than the other, but you can't create laws on that because
it can't work. From a practical standpoint and from a logical standpoint, it doesn't work.
Because morally, it's incorrect. Because
it's also in the words or the phrase "simulated rape." That's not rape. As the simulated is there for a reason. Like, it's, to my understanding, it's not genuine rape. It's a sort of almost like a role play. So it's not really. Both parties are consenting.
Yeah, and it's you know, changing the law to restrict the distribution of quote extreme online videos, and again that.
That could extend to anything.
That could extend to anything, depending on who you are. So I just think that, you know, as you've already said, you don't think this is going to pass.
I'm pretty confident that, I mean, if you look at the progression of the e-petition thing.
The e-petition is one thing. The other thing is just the fact that some people have already spoken out, and I was going to lead on to this, which is the UK ISP. Called Andrews and Arnold. I've got a news report here from wired.co.uk.
I haven't actually heard of them before I read that article.
Meaning that I think they're quite a small company, but this is what they said. They said, if you want internet censorship, move to North Korea. So they're obviously quite annoyed about this.
The thing is that there are instant comparisons to North Korea and how they monitor their media.
Well, as they have found out, the
Chinese and the like.
It's
censorship.
Related, I'm not exactly, I could look this up, I'm not sure exactly how it's related to the Chinese government, but it is in some way. I think they have a party of people working behind the scenes on this filter, which have connections to the Chinese government.
Yeah, and China are pretty heavy on their censorship.
Yeah, they are, and not only that, it's a different culture. Yeah. It's going to have some issues when intercepting with ours. I'm just going to quote here from the ISP, Andrews and Arnold. It is not our role to try and censor what you do with the internet. We do not try and log or limit what you are accessing. It is your responsibility to stick to the laws that apply to you. We have no intention of putting in place any censorship systems or using censored transit feeds. Active choice, it argues, is not a choice. That just sums up you know, what we expected the reaction from ISP companies to be. But, you know, other ISP companies, which are obviously much bigger and much more popular, might have closer relations to the government and everything, which means that they're going to there's gonna be some real issues. I think mm-hmm. it's
definitely,
you know, some people are just gonna say that, you know, he's already down on the polls, so he's just doing this to just to like exploit the country before the next election.
Basically, just saying fuck you, yeah. Like just before he goes away,
yeah,
just ruin the entire country.
You know, but, you know, that's just the way David works. I think everyone's just pissed off with him at the minute.
But like, it's
just the way he's gone about it. He clearly hasn't researched on how this is going to work.
It's ridiculous. He has a very clear, limited understanding of how the internet works, like sort of people on the internet and how they operate and things like that.
I think it's important we talk about the opt-in and opt-out feature as well.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because
bear in mind that most ISPs do have opt-in features for censorship.
Yeah, they do. As it stands, you can opt-in
and there are
third-party
programs that can do that for you as well.
Yep. So they're moving the responsibility away from the parents and putting it onto the government to, as I read somewhere, is to bring up your kids. Which, obviously, it's the responsibility of the parents to do this, I believe, if they believe that they don't, you know, they don't want their child to look at anything inappropriate. Oh, that's about it. No, that's about it related to it in the news report with the ISP filters and the opt-in and opt-out.
But they seem to be getting confused with internet service providers and internet moderators. Like, ISPs do what they say. They provide the internet for whatever price, depending on their speeds. They don't police it, and I don't think anyone should police the internet personally, but it's not their responsibility. They monitor, or they provide the internet. And, like, for example, loads of internet service providers just offer different offers, but they all use the same line as BT. Yeah, BT is like British Telecom. It's the widespread internet. Yeah, that's sort of in Britain. That's, you're most likely with BT or using a BT line.
Yeah,
even if you're with someone like Orange or TalkTalk. Like, I know, I think it's like Sky Broadband uses their own independent line, but most commercial ones use a BT line. So
yeah,
it's not the internet service provider's independent responsibility to monitor what their customers are doing. They just provide the service.
Yeah.
I don't think it... And they seem to be confusing that.
Yeah, so I found the point I was looking for before. People have this tendency to just, you know, leave everything ticked and go by default. And
I think it's designed in that way, though.
Yeah, so people aren't going to, you know, they're going to read closely. They're not going to look at the fine print. They're not going to look at what this means. So people who are quite ignorant of, you know, the way they install things like that, are obviously going to be left with a censored internet. And I just think that this is the start of a downward spiral.
It can only go down from here. Like, there's no... I can't think of any positives to this. Like, as in, I can think of positives to censoring internet in your own household. Like, if you want to stop your kids from accessing certain content, that's your responsibility, not the country's responsibility. There are certainly benefits to that, you know, if you don't want your child accessing that kind of content, if it might offend them or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I said, or like we said, it's, they're not going to accidentally come across it. It's a thing that you have to actively look for, and search engines deliberately make it like that. You don't see a porn site ad on YouTube, for example. Yeah. Or whatever, like, you know, it's on popular websites that you'd come across on Google search.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's a response of the parents. There are no up points. I don't think there are any benefits to making people do this. And like you said, you know, you said about, you know, relationships, and they want to opt out of the filters. David Cameron actually said, and I can't quote this, but I know that he said that he's sort of deliberately trying to make it awkward, because he believes that pornography ruins marriages, and marriage is like the be-all and end-all of life.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. When you start creating laws and a society based off of one man's view, that's when it becomes almost corrupt. So,
yeah, it becomes a dictatorship. In the long run, it does. This isn't true democracy, I don't think, because it doesn't seem like people are being able to get a word in. It's like David Cameron, it seems to me like David Cameron is just sort of putting his fingers in his ears and closing his eyes and ignoring everyone that opposes this. And he's just like, guys.
Yeah, well, it's like David Cameron is sitting there on his computer, and he thinks that if he goes onto Google Images and types in child porn, that it's all going to come up. you know, he's just looking at it from a very ignorant standpoint, and that annoys me as like an avid user of the internet that he's not doing his research before he's making these big statements. And already he's starting to crumble. I saw a headline recently saying that he's having second thoughts about the filters. He's saying it will be a lot harder than we thought it would be.
It's kind of like he's just
It's wasting a lot of money. I mean,
that
money
could be spent.
Could be spent in other like, you know, way more important ways. Or I do agree with the, you know, don't get me wrong. Obviously, I want things like, you know, child porn blocked and all that kind of stuff. But it's for I think he should do it via, you know, making it more difficult to access via the dark side, you know, the dark internet, Tor browser, P2P.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, I haven't really got any other terms.
There's a blogger that I follow, and she also does YouTube videos called Ickle and Ellie Rose. Ickle and Ellie Rose? Whatever, like, put it in the description. Like, she made an interesting blog post, and it's a fair point that even if these sensors are put in place, despite what the public think, because I've got a feeling that that might happen for a short time. I think they're going to, you know, be up for a short time and they're going to go down. She said that, like, certainly now in this generation, there are going to be kids that are going to find ways around the sensors. And if they're using the same technology that they're using in China, people in China, like kids in China, as in young kids from as young as 11 years old, they're finding ways around the sensors and to circumvent the sensors. So it then almost eliminates what he's trying to do anyway. His plan is flawed simply because sensors are easy to bypass in legal ways as well.
Yeah, well, that's just kind of almost encouraging young people to find ways to tamper with the internet and find...
That's his secret motive. He's trying to create like a nation of like
super hackers,
sniving bastards. Oh, wait, it's Britain. Never mind. It's flawed in many ways. And it will not work. I guarantee you it will fall.
I think that's basically all we got to do on that. So, yeah, that was our news story for today. Obviously, we didn't cover loads of things. But, you know, being relatively brief, that's just what we think on it. And we apologise for stuff that we got wrong, because we probably did.
Give us a break, guys.
But then again, we're just reacting to what we saw on the TV, really. But yeah, that's what it is, in my opinion, really. I haven't got anything else much to add there. Over the next few weeks, we hope to be recording a few more episodes, but not necessarily on current events, but just events in general.
Things that we find interesting.
We hope to be covering a little bit. We haven't really talked much about ourselves, really, but. You know, I don't think it's worth like
in time.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth, you know,
and then slowly
dedicating.
Stop listening.
Yeah, like we could have spent this entire episode. I did say at the start of the episode that this would be a little bit different, and we might just end up talking about ourselves, but we didn't. We just talked about. This was interesting to talk about. So yeah, we're not going to have any kind of dedicated episodes to talking about ourselves, because that's just a bit stupid, really. So, anything else you want to add, or should we go to shout-outs?
Shout-outs, I think.
Okay, well, basically, at the end of the show, we might end up using the shout-out section to shout-out people specifically who we know who have given us a hand with anything. As of yet, we don't really have any shout-outs to give, but there's a couple of mentions we want to give, which Emil's got.
If you have any... You say first, because mine's quite longish, lengthy length.
Honestly, I don't have anything. You go.
Okay, so my shout out is for a charity-ish type thing called Games for Good, which is run by a guy called James Portnow or Portno. I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce your name. I'm sorry. If you're listening, please don't. He is pretty big in the gaming industry, and he owns, or at least he's massively involved with a developer called DigiPen, who develop and publish games, I think. I'm not entirely sure, but I just read this page, and he was on this podcast that I listened to, and he was talking about it. It's a charity called Games for Good, and essentially what it is that he wants to change the discussion around video games. So, you know how school shootings and stuff like that, that's sort of pretty recent stuff, have more often than not, they're pinned on video games at some point in their lifetime. Kids play violent video games, it makes them violent. And he noticed that gamers are always defending games. They're always saying why they're not bad. Yeah, so they're saying, oh, it's not bad because of this, or it's not bad because of this. Games for Good aims to discuss why games can be good as well. Yeah, so he's sort of trying to launch this big campaign, talking to political figures and stuff like that, demonstrating the benefits of video games.
That's interesting.
In education and stuff like that. And psychological research, which is interesting because that would probably fuel or more positive impact into games. So less games make you violent and more games improve this aspect of you or whatever.
That sounds really interesting, actually. Is it starting up a company or is it like a...
I think it's a charity. It's on Rocket Hub. You can go see it at rockethub.com/projects/5243.
I'll put a link down.
Click the little fund button or donation button and just give what you can, I guess. It's pretty important to me because I'm a huge gamer. I'm massively into video games, so it means a lot to me. It's the first charity I've ever seen that sort of on a personal level.
That just seemed quite important, actually, considering games have been given a really bad name recently. Yeah.
And I do believe...
Not just recently, but over a long time, since people have always opposed games in their violent nature.
And just interactive media in general, I think, is given a bad name by the minority of people that act, or may or may not act upon them. If you donate $5,000, he will fly over to you and play video games with you.
That sounds awesome. That sounds cool.
You can take that statement as you will. It could be an innuendo. I don't know.
Well, is it just like a really expensive escort?
It's a whole different kind of game. It's the whore game.
Cool. Anything else you want to give a word to?
There's a YouTube user called Mr. Repzion who I enjoy watching. He doesn't really need a shout out. I'm not saying that we're responsible for anyone's well-being ever. he does interesting videos. He's called Mr. Repzion. You can see his videos at youtube.com/user/MrRepzion. Description, if I was talking too fast then, you can see his link in the description. He does videos on current events, or he finds a video on YouTube that he thinks is stupid, and he will give his thoughts on it, and he's entertaining, and he's also, he's got some interesting opinions. But one of the reasons I enjoy watching his videos is because he started out as a Christian, and he would give Christian viewpoints, and then slowly he sort of started reading more into theology and philosophy and stuff like that, and he slowly started to become an atheist. And now he is a full-blown atheist, and is now sort of, I guess, hating on extremist Christian videos and stuff like that. He's kind of like a junior amazing atheist, if you've ever heard of that guy. He's awesome. But, yeah, definitely go check him out. He's an interesting guy, and he's also really friendly. Like, he has this really nice smile.
That's cool. And that's awesome.
You should just check out his videos. He's awesome.
Yeah, so when we can, we'll shout out people who we think deserve one. Just, like, if they are just, like, little-known YouTubers, you know. Not we won't really, you know, feel the need to shout out, you know, big YouTubers, you know, like Vsauce, Numfile, all them lot that create really interesting videos, which you probably know of. Is there anything else you want to... before you end the first episode?
No, I'm done. I think it's all left on my little screen.
Awesome. Well, if you have listened up to now, that's awesome. We feel free to absolutely, you know, destroy what we call as, you know, our opinions. Tell us why we're like wrong. Tell us why all our facts were rubbish and why, you know, just you know, call us out. We'd love to get involved and talk about this some more. We're not yet sure of what we'll be doing next episode, but you know, we'll get around to it, and it will be uploaded soon. Not too far away. We hope to make this a regular thing.
Every
weekish. Yeah. And we'll just see how it
goes. Otherwise,
that's
a whole bunch of money.
Well, you know, it's an investment. We'll see how it goes. But as I said, you know, if you have listened, seriously, if you've listened up to this point, thank you very much.
Find me a bike. visit my...
I'm grateful. But in that case, we'll see you next episode, and thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Edit that out.
Yeah, I can edit that out. What was I saying?
Shit.
Okay, so we know. Okay, I've got a bit to edit out. And I was hoping we could just. Oh, fuck.